Good to be back. It's a couple of weeks since I've been here, and I was only last week, that was why. Oh, it feels like a long time. It's nice to be back anyway. Lovely to see you. We're looking at these two chapters of Habakkuk. There is heaps in them, but I think we'll find there's a big thread and some really challenging and great questions that Habakkuk asks, and some answers that are surprising. So let me pray as we have a look. Lord, please help us to hear what is being asked, what is being said. Help us to be honest about our own questions and responses to what's said here. And bless me as I speak and us as we listen, that we all might listen to you. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Does God care about justice? Does God care about justice? You might ask that when someone takes your car park when you've been queuing up and waiting for it, or when someone jumps in the line in front of you at the supermarket, where's the justice? But sometimes we ask it about more serious issues as well. We hear about children, and we hear about this quite a bit at the moment, I think, children in New Zealand who grew up in relative poverty just because they happen to be born into this or that family rather than another. We speak to people, I've spoken to someone this week who's been scarred by the abuse of their parent that they had from the time they were born, this parent. They were just born with this parent who abused them, and that's kind of wrecked their life at a later stage, the scars from it. Or you hear about sometimes big corporations that make a lot of money using slave labor. So does God care about those things? Does he care about justice for those who are abused, those who are in slave labor, those who are in poverty? Does God care about justice for the people of North Korea? There are around 25 million people living in North Korea. It's had serious famine and disasters over the last while. And the average yearly wage a few years ago was just under $1,000, probably around similar. Until the year 2011, the end of the year 2011, Kim Jong-il was North Korea's ruler. He's reported to have spent about $1 million a year on cognac alone. I'm saying that right. Much of his nation lived below the poverty line, but he lived in luxury. He enjoyed lobster and the finest cuts of sushi as well as his cognac. One of the nation's largest concentration camps is called Camp 22. It's got around 50,000 had about 50,000 men, women and children in it. And they'd done dangerous things to be put there, like asking questions about the government or becoming Christians. Reports came out of that camp, and I assume continue to come out of that camp, of gross human rights abuses, including things like the murder of babies who were born to inmates. Meanwhile, as this happens, Kim apparently paid off about a number of powerful families to enable him to stay in power, and he lived in luxury to around the age of 70, enjoying his lobster and his sushi and his cognac. And now his son, Kim Jong-un, doesn't seem to be any better. It looked like he might be for a while, but turning out pretty much the same. He's got $5 billion of personal assets while the country is still deprived, doesn't like movies being made about him, and he's even made everyone who's got the same name as him change their name. So you can't have your own name if your name happens to be the same as Kim Jong-un. So where's the justice then in North Korea? Does God care about justice for those North Korean parents and their babies? It's only a few examples of many that I know we could all bring. Things that make your blood boil. What's God doing about it? Does he care? How can he care when these things keep happening over and over? Well, the question's not a new one. People have been asking it for a long time. It may have surprised you, if you're listening carefully, to hear the way Habakkuk, who's a prophet of God, asked these questions in very strong language in the readings we just heard. But the Bible is actually like that. It kind of deals with real stuff in real ways, I think. So look again from chapter 1, verse 2. It's page 938. Habakkuk said, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? See what he's saying? Why don't you hear me, Lord? Why don't you do something? Where's the justice? It's kind of dangerous. It's almost impious, isn't it? Seems pretty likely that Habakkuk was speaking about, at this point, about Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, in the blue there, probably around the late 600s BC. And we know from the Old Testament that the situation in Judah around that time was pretty bad. Habakkuk would probably have been seeing widespread corruption and idolatry in the land of Judah, so worshipping gods they weren't supposed to, and corruption, seeing innocent blood shed very frequently. And very often he would have been seeing the priests and the kings, the leaders of the people of God, who are supposed to be the holy ones, they were shedding the blood and then silencing anyone who spoke out against it. Problems in the leadership of God's people isn't a new thing either. Among God's chosen people, Habakkuk was seeing the wicked hemming in the righteous, as he puts it. Justice being perverted. So Habakkuk cries out for justice. Don't you care, he cries. Why don't you save? How long before you do something? How long? Well, sometimes we need to be careful what we ask for. Sometimes when you ask for something, you get it. That's the problem. Sarah and I remember a time only a year or two after we became Christians. Sarah and I remember a time a year or two after we became Christians where we prayed to God for something to kind of help us grow, an opportunity to serve and to be challenged in church. And very soon after, we were quite terrifyingly asked to help out with a kitchen for this youth group, which was kind of a leadership position in a beginning way. And that led to a whole chain of events that means I'm standing here. So be careful what you ask for, because you might get it. Habakkuk was asking for justice. And God's answer was going to shock him to the core. Look with me at verses 5 to 6, what God says here. He says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. That was God's shocking answer. Yes, God was going to do something about the injustice in Judah. He was going to bring justice to Judah for its wickedness. He'd seen everything that had been going on. He'd seen the violence and the corruption. And justice was going to come, but you wouldn't believe how he was going to bring this justice. It was through the Babylonians. And God himself describes the Babylonians in verses 6 to 11. They're ruthless. They're reckless. They do things their own way. They take whatever they want without regard for anyone else. They're a vicious people who mock all who oppose them. No respect for anyone. Their God is their own strength. They're like the ultimate example of might is right. They mow down nations in their drive for world domination. They turn nations into like fish that they can just drag up with their net. They were people known for their cruelty, and there was no UN or Amnesty International to keep an eye on them. In verse 6, God says he's raising up the Babylonians, these people, to punish Judah. So can you see why Habakkuk is so utterly amazed? God's bringing justice on the corrupt people of Judah, but he's doing it through the ruthless nation of Babylon. Habakkuk had cried out for justice against Judah, and he got his answer. God will bring justice. But like this? And Habakkuk feels the pinch of this paradox all too much. So much that he actually changes his cry for justice. Cry for justice, Mark 2, which is in verses 12 to 17. And verse 13, I think, captures the heart of it. He says to God, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You see, before, Judah looked bad, but now when you look at the Babylonians, they're in another league. It's like you've got a problem with school bullies, so you bring in Hitler as the principal. These Babylonians don't even pretend to take any notice of God. They worship their own strength. And God will use them to bring justice on Judah. Lord, I know you're holy. I know you're just. But you've appointed these ones to bring justice. They're merciless and arrogant, and you let them go on like this forever? Don't you see? Won't you do something? We still hear echoes of that kind of cry for justice. God is in control. Why does he allow war? If God's in control, what about all the children who die, seemingly needlessly? If there's a God and he's all powerful, why doesn't he do something about the injustices we see all around us? What about the corrupt people in power who live in luxury while millions are trapped in a cycle of poverty and the rich just get richer? Why doesn't God do something about that? Or, Lord, you're good, but what about the person who bullies me at work and just gets away with it, even gets ahead because of it? What about the person who's hurt me and keeps hurting me and the hard work I do that never gets noticed? God, do you care about justice? It's a very real question. And it was like that for Habakkuk. He wasn't asking this as a theoretical problem up in the clouds. It wasn't sitting over a coffee in a cafe saying, wow, justice. How can there be justice and be so much injustice and God's there? He wasn't in a lecture theater asking a philosophical question. He had blood in front of his eyes. He had a superpower threatening his home and his family. And God's answer to his cry for justice, his cry for justice, Mark 2, is a final and resounding answer. Chapter 2 is God's final answer, his final just verdict. Justice would indeed come, even on the Babylonians. The end of verse 3 says, of chapter 2, end of verse 3, though it linger, wait for it, it will certainly come and will not delay. It might not come immediately, but it will come, and it will come not delayed, but at exactly the right time. Verse 4 to 5 make it clear that God knows the arrogance of the Babylonians very well. He knows what they do and their arrogant attitude as they do it, which really important to notice, isn't it? It's not just what they do, it's their arrogance as they do it, their arrogant attitude. And verse 6 to 20 of chapter 2, verse 6 to 20, detail in poetic language the just end that these wretches will be brought to. Now, we're looking at the big picture, as I said, of Habakkuk 1 to 2 tonight, and there's not time to go through it in detail, but I do highly recommend reading it at home. Just briefly, and hearing it again, because we heard it from Dave, reading it through, it'd be good to just slow down and read through it again in the light of what we've seen. But just briefly, let me pull out a couple of things as you see the kind of ironic justice in this section from verses 6 to 20, chapter 2. So just as the Babylonians have done, so it will be done to them. So there's a wee list up there. As they've plundered the nations in verse 8, so they will be plundered. Verse 12 to 13, this empire that they've built, a great empire, becomes like twigs for the fire. As they've shamed others, they're going to be shamed, verse 15 to 16. Their violence, which they've committed, will be violence that comes back on them and overwhelm them in verse 17. Verse 18 to 20, the useless idols, the pretend gods that they've made, won't help them when the real God comes to bring justice. They'll be judged, they'll be punished, to put it bluntly, according to what they've done. And God's answer is, he is just, and in the end he will bring justice. Does God care about justice more than we ever could? More than we ever could. More than Habakkuk ever could. He cares about it so much that somehow, in a kind of mysterious way, he guides and works in with world events so that justice ends up being done in Judah and to the Babylonians. And Judah was conquered by the Babylonians in 586 BC. The Babylonian Empire fell less than 50 years later. God cares about justice so much that it's actually quite scary. Notice again, chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, what Habakkuk needed to see, what he was learning through this, was that God's justice would come. Even though he couldn't see it right then, it was coming in God's perfect timing. It would come because God cares about justice more than any of us ever could. But once we've realized and learned, like Habakkuk did, that God cares about justice, what are we supposed to do? How do you respond to that in a world with injustice? Interesting to look what Habakkuk did. First, he cried out to God. He didn't just pretend the injustice wasn't real or explain it away. He didn't just ignore it or hide from it. He didn't give up on calling out to God. He didn't stop calling out to God. He didn't walk away from God, give up trusting him, or say, look, I'm done with asking. He continued to cry out to God. He asked, he didn't blunt it. He didn't say it in a kind of just polite and gentle way. He said, how long? But he didn't stop crying out. And then, not only did he cry out, he actually looked for an answer. He waited expectantly for God to answer. He looked to God's words for an answer. We'll see more about that next week in chapter 3. But for now, we need to see that God caring about justice so much raises a question for us as well. See, if God cares about justice this much, it throws the question back at us, certainly does for me, I think for all of us, do we want him to care about justice this much? We want him to care about terrible things that go on in the world. Of course we do. We want him to care about justice against Babylon. We want him to care about justice for North Korea. Justice when it comes to rapists and murderers, corrupt power mongers. But how much do we really want him to care about justice? Do we want him to care about injustice like manipulating someone to get what we want? Like hatred and jealousy towards people because they've done well and taken our spotlight away. And quite fairly, but we don't want that. Do we want him to care about little injustices like pirated movies and music that we have so we don't have to pay for them, or games we have that we don't have to pay for them, we can get them earlier, but they actually don't belong to us, they belong to someone else? About our arrogance, like the Babylonians, their arrogance, like about our arrogant words and attitudes. All the times that we've ignored that person who was lonely or vulnerable, who it's pretty clear God cares about people who are lonely and vulnerable, we've ignored them because it's just too hard, it's too much bother. Do we really want God to care about justice? We do need to be careful what we ask for. We cry out, God, do you care when you see what goes on in this world? But his answer will actually shock us. We've seen in Habakkuk 1 and 2, God cares about justice more than we ever could. He cares about justice so much that it's scary. And in light of how much he cares about justice, his verdict is very clear. Book of Romans sums it up really clearly. There is no one righteous, no one just, no one righteous, not even one. And we might think we're okay, but when we're actually faced with God's, not just his interest in justice, but his passion for justice, we fall very far short. It's okay when we're looking at people we feel we can judge. I'm sure we wouldn't say we're judging them, but actually, people like Kim Jong-il and Kim Jong-un, North Korea, we can look at them and feel okay. We might look at a pedophile. It's okay. We can say, oh, we're not that bad. A racist person, terrible. Terrible person. Person who lies and cheats. Pretty bad, getting a bit close to me though. But when we're faced with real, consistent, passionate justice, a mirror looking back at us that God puts in front of our face, because God really cares about justice, it's not so pleasant. and justice will come. It might not seem like it now, it didn't seem like it to Habakkuk, but God's justice is surely coming. Justice came on both Judah and the Babylonians. It will certainly come for us too, because God cares about justice more than we could. And we'll have to give an account of ourselves to God, stand before him and do that. There's no escaping that. There's no pretending it away. Chapter 2, verse 4 of Habakkuk says this: the righteous person will live by his faithfulness, but there is no one righteous, not even one. Actually, there's one. Only one righteous man who lived rightly and justly all the days of his life. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was killed in the greatest act of injustice that there has ever been, because a truly innocent man, not to mention the Son of God, was put to death like a criminal. But somehow, mysteriously, in God's grace, in Jesus' death, a great justice was done. Because in his death on the cross, justice was done for the evil of all who put their faith in him. And now God can be truly just. He can uphold justice in the face of evil. Not just sweep it under the carpet or pretend it away, but actually say, I'm going to deal with that evil. I'm going to uphold justice. And at the same time, be merciful to sinners. He can bring those things together. Sinners like you and I. Unjust people like you and I. Uphold justice and have mercy on the unjust. And now, because of Jesus, those words I mentioned in chapter 2, verse 4, the righteous one will live by his faithfulness, well, they take on new meaning for those who have faith in Christ. That word faithfulness, it can also mean faith. It's the same kind of word. So the righteous will live by faith. And now they do. Those who have faith in Jesus, who come to him and trust him, are made righteous, because God has made a way to be both just and merciful through Jesus. We talk about this a lot, but please take in the magnitude of it. God cares about justice enough to give his own son so justice could be done and he could still have mercy on the unjust. Many of us, I'll be completely honest, I think many of us think we care about justice more than God does, because we talk about it like that. We think, oh yeah, God, but God's not really into justice. Look at all the stuff in the Bible. Actually, how much does it cost you to care about justice? How much does it cost you? How much did it cost God to care about justice as much as he does? As much as he does. Look at what it cost him to care about justice. And so, the righteous now live by faith. Those who are made righteous by faith in Jesus live by faith. We live waiting for God's justice to finally come, in a way like Habakkuk did. We seek, yes, we seek to promote justice in our world. We probably need to do a bit of a better job of that, but we do seek to do that. And with that, though, not so much my rights or our rights or justice for us, I don't think. But at the same time, God cares about justice, and God's been so incredibly kind to us, so we'll care about what he cares about. We'll care about justice, especially for other people, I think. For the oppressed, for instance, in North Korea, who are really facing injustice, we will pray for them. If we care, we'll support those who seek to help them. We'll care about people in poverty. We will give, we'll advocate, see if we can change things, we'll help. We'll care about injustices we see around us. We'll take whatever action we can, one of which is to take time to comfort those who are facing injustice, to actually care for them. We'll care about our own actions as well, the injustices we commit, the big ones and the small ones. Seek to make them right. Be ready to change and stop turning a blind eye to our little injustices. Our lies, our piracy, our arrogance, our not being bothered with someone. because God cares about those injustices and we want to please him. But as we seek ultimate justice and seek to change our unjust hearts with God's work in us, we will need to wait. We shouldn't be expecting justice to come completely right now, just when we want it. And I know that's hard particularly for some of us who find it really hard to wait. But we need to learn what Habakkuk learned. God's final justice will come at the right time. And when it does, it will be complete and perfect justice, more just than we could ever imagine, because God cares about justice much more than we do. He sees the injustice, and he will deal with it fully and finally. And in the meantime, we live by faith, trusting God, seeking to live justly, making what change we can, and even when it doesn't happen the way we'd like, we get disadvantaged because we do the right thing and we try to act justly, we'll just keep crying out to God for justice, remembering the day is coming when justice will come because God cares about it much more than we do, and he cares about it so much that he is just but made a way to be merciful to us. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we are so unjust. Astounds me sometimes when I think about myself and how much I get on my high horse about justice and yet am so unjust. And you care about justice so much as we see what you did in Jesus, and yet we question your justice. Extraordinary. Thank you for your mercy that comes with justice. And thank you that you care about justice so greatly. As we see injustices around us, Lord, please give us eyes to see them and hearts and actions to do what we can to care. As we see injustices, that we do give us hearts and eyes to see them and want to do something about them. And yet, Lord, give us patience to wait as well and trust that you, because you care about justice, will bring it, and yet in your graciousness with mercy. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.